in investigating the Palisades fire, and arson is one of the factors that they are going to investigate. That is, Governor Gavin Newsom here has demanded an independent investigation into the water issue, specifically here in the Palisades fire hydrants running dry. He called it deeply disturbing.
Middle East mediators have been making significant progress in Gaza ceasefire talks. As of now, though, there's no imminent breakthrough announcement. The Senate begins hearings this week on President-elect Trump's cabinet picks. Still watching Japan, where a strong earthquake hit the southern part of the country today. This is ABC News.
Now, this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Ayland. Work can begin on a new engineering building at UW-Madison. Friday, the State Building Commission approved a request from the UW system to reapportion $29 million from other projects and approve funding for the Philip A. Levy Engineering Center, which is expected to cost more than $419 million. A Wisconsin Policy Forum study shows we're changing how we recycle in Wisconsin. The study shows the total weight of recyclable materials collected by local governments dropped by 6,900 tons between 2013 and 2022. The study also says local municipalities are paying more for recycling services. And consider sending a Valentine to a vet for the upcoming holiday. The Valentines get delivered to three Veterans Housing and Recovery Program locations across the state. You have until January 31st to send the cards. More information can be found on the Department of Veteran Affairs website.
It's cold out there this morning, wind chill in the teens below zero, and we are going to keep that wind chill below zero here for the entire day. Partly cloudy, we'll get to around 11 this afternoon. Tonight, 2 below, tomorrow sunshine with a high near 12. We're back in the 20s by Wednesday. Stop paying too much for health insurance. Call this number, 800-693-9308, for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 2 above. 99.7.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you. 8:02 on Monday morning. Quick update on that XM, the interstate north of Wisconsin Dells by Linden Station. That has been cleared up. So that area of the interstate is clear once again. Travel is resuming as normal. Emily and I will be back with you at 8:10 with Pets of the Week. Here's Phil Collins on Max FM.
Yeah. 99.7 Max FM.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
All that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Go for the moon.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. 810 on Monday morning, January 13th. As a quick reminder, that accident on the interstate outside of the Dells just by Linden Station has cleared up. All lanes of traffic are open again on the interstate, Emily.
Good, good, good. That's great to hear, Dave. Thank you for that update. And everyone, I hope your commute and everywhere you're going this morning is going smoothly out there. Happy Monday to you all.
As we schmoove along on a Monday, we're going to talk about pets of the week.
Schmoove along. Who is my favorite bit? You know that. All right. I'm going to talk about Hominy. Hominy is a 3-year-old orange tabby, sweet and lovable. Hominy will delight you with her quiet meows and purring. Very much a people cat, Hominy loves treats, attention, petting, and scratching behind her ears. She does not mind being picked up and will happily settle into your lap for a long winter's nap while you enjoy a movie or a good book. Hominy will be spayed, microchipped, and up to date with vaccines before going home. She's little orange tabby with some amber-colored eyes staring right at the camera. That's a winner for sure. Go check her out for sure and the other pets at Sauk County Humane for sure.
She is a beautiful cat. And I have Ryder. Ryder is a 6-month-old pit mix who was found wandering alone. Very much a puppy, Ryder is still mastering the basics of puppy etiquette. Full of energy, she is learning leash walking skills and is improving. Now, Ryder is very likely deaf, so our volunteers are teaching her hand signals for commands like sit and stay and come. It will be important for a future family to continue those hand signals and build on new ones. Researching the ups and downs of owning a deaf dog would be important to make sure adoption is successful. She's up to date on her vaccinations and will be microchipped and spayed before going home. Now, I will say this. You can teach a dog hand signals, and they know those hand signals. So do not let that be a deterrent from you from adopting this puppy. And you will want to continue to reinforce those hand signals. And both of our last two dogs, we have taught hand signals, and they know what they mean. So you don't have to say anything to them. Again, do the proper research, and they will work with you. And there are some great trainers in this area, Emily.
Absolutely. Yep. I've worked with dogs, deaf dogs as well. It's common, more common with dogs of white color, which is interesting. But this dog has the most beautiful blue eyes. She's just gorgeous. And yes, they're incredibly smart. I have been able to work with dogs, taking them to dog parks that are hard of hearing or deaf. And you just, you literally call them with your hands and they come running right over. It's really quite incredible. So like Dave said, don't let that be a deterrent because she is lovely. And it doesn't necessarily present more of a challenge. It's just a different kind of communication and you both can totally do it. So if you're interested, she's lovely. Go check her out. She needs a home. She was on her own and she needs a family. So definitely check her and all the other pets out at SauquecountyHumane.org. They do such a great job over there. They take in an average of 2,000 homeless animals a year, and it is costly. So make sure to, give a hand by donating some, often they need different kinds of things. Right now, they're asking essentially for bleach. There's a lot of cleaning that has to do when you take care of animals. And then on the other hand, peanut butter, because that is a way, I think, to sometimes get dogs to be trained. They really like peanut butter, and you can touch a little peanut butter onto a little treat, and it goes a long way with a dog. So definitely help them out. They are in need, and they do a wonderful job.
They definitely do. And for more information, you can go to SauquecountyHumane.org. And memberships of the Humane Society definitely help as they take in over 2,000 homeless animals each year. And that is costly for all the services that they offer. And your financial help also helps those in need. The Josh Dateman Fund helps assist with emergency vet care that people cannot afford, or our safekeeping program, which can provide care for those who may find themselves temporarily unable to care for their pets. And of course, there's a pet food pantry to assist those in need of food and cat litter for their pets. And so your membership definitely helps out. Last year, they took in 2,500 animals, a 14% increase from the year before. To become a member or to volunteer or donate, go to SauquecountyHumane.org, Emily.
Absolutely. Be out there and be kind and be sharing what you have to give with these wonderful organizations that we work with. We feel so proud to be able to be involved. And I mean, anyone who's out there working for helping animals and getting them homes, I mean, hands down, just keep on doing that work. We're here for you.
Most definitely. Emily, you'll be back with me in about 5 minutes for calendar days.
Whoop, whoop.
We're looking forward to that, and there's some good ones on there. Coming up, we're at Bruce Springsteen on Max FM.
Some things are worth waiting for. The cable guy isn't one of them. U.S. Cellular's home internet is so simple to install, you can do it yourself. Fast 5G home internet for $39.99 per month when bundled with a wireless plan with a 3-year price lock guarantee. No waiting, no appointment windows, just home internet made simple. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. See cellplus.com for details. By far the best deal for home internet. Plus, for a limited time, get a free router. Visit your local U.S. Cellular agent in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Stop in today to test drive and buy your next new or used vehicle at Baraboo's Don Larson Ford Superstore or Don Larson GM Superstore. Don Larson now offers two convenient locations on County Highway BD and South Boulevard in Baraboo. Not ready to buy? They service all makes and models in both of their service departments. Your next vehicle is waiting for you at Don Larson GM Superstore or Don Larson Ford Superstore, Baraboo. Shop them 24/7 at DonLarson.com and DonLarsonFord.com.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Geese and more, 99.7 Max FM. Dave and Emily with you, 821 on Monday, January 13th. Emily, we're going to talk about calendar days.
We are, and there are so many good ones on here. I just was giggling to myself looking at this list over. I just love it. I'm going to start with the one that I think we can celebrate here. It's Public Radio Broadcasting Day today. Learn how the radio was invented and how to appreciate and celebrate this day. So, as we are on the radio, no, we're not on public radio necessarily, but we are on awesome civic media, and we love what we do, and we thank everyone out there, every one of you that listen and tune in at any part of the day, morning show, or throughout the day in any of our stations. Thank you for listening, and thank you all of you, everyone at 7 Max FM, for being part of this journey with me. It's so much fun.
Yes, it's so much fun, and we are glad to have you with us, Emily, and we just appreciate all of our listeners, and this is something that's we enjoy doing so very much every single day. So the other one I thought that was kind of funny on here, National Fourth Graders Day. So
I love that.
The magic of being 9 or 10 and show what fourth graders can do, or one of my favorites, Make Your Dream Come True Day.
Aw, that's a good one. Make Your Dream Come True Day. Celebrate the dreams that give your life purpose and make them a reality, especially for a fourth grader. Go for it. Fourth grade is such a turning point in kids' lives, and they know a lot of stuff. So make your dream come true, fourth grader, especially if you get a chance to be on the radio. Okay, that was a bad tie-in, but I tried. I like this one, too. National Rubber Ducky Day. I mean, even just in the picture, you just can't deny it. Rubber duckies just make people smile. And, you know, for kids or not, they're just kind of a fun thing to have around. So now, National Rubber Ducky Day. Today is also National Gluten-Free Day. Many know nothing about it, while 2.5 million people in the U.S. battle against it. This is true. I have a couple people real close to me that don't do well with gluten, and they have changed their eating habits, and they feel a whole lot better. So pay attention to your body. It tells you what it needs.
Yes, it does, and it's so very important, and I know some of our local restaurants are very cognizant of that, and we appreciate all of them that do that. It's just something that is so very important. And here is one of my favorites. We talked about, of course, National Rubber Ducky Day. We played that in our opener this morning, and Stout just loved all the squeaking noises, and I had to explain it wasn't a dog toy. My favorite, National Clean Your Desk Day. So if your desk is cluttered and needs reorganization, today is the day to do that.
I think that's a good one, too. I really, really like that one because, you know, a desk is a representation of what's happening with your work and with your kind of brain. And it's a small place to start, not small necessarily, but it's not like being faced cleaning your entire office or cleaning your entire house or whatever. Like, it's the desk. You can pick the stuff up and get it back in order. And it makes you feel good. It brings clearness to the mind. It's nice.
It most definitely does. And I think it's just something important to remember, you know, as we get things going. A cluttered desk definitely leads to kind of having maybe a cluttered space. Now you can't find something. And so, yeah, today's a day to do that.
Absolutely. And one more I liked on here, too. National Sticker Day. That one makes me happy. I still love myself some stickers. I had a big sticker book girl when I was a little kid. So love some stickers. I thought that one was fun as well.
Yes, that is where I was just headed with that as well. So that's funny. So, Emily, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you'll be back with us tomorrow at 7:10.
Fantastic. Everybody out there, have a great Monday, January the 13th. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Yes, it is. Coming up after weather, we're going to have Hang with Hava. We know this one's going to be just a little bit longer because there's a lot to go over after everything that happened in that Packer game, and we're wrapping up the Packer season. Hanging with Hava is next after weather on Max FM.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
It's cold out there this morning, wind chill in the teens below zero, and we are going to keep that wind chill below zero here for the entire day. Partly cloudy, we'll get to around 11 this afternoon. Tonight, 2 below, tomorrow sunshine with a high near 12. We're back in the 20s by Wednesday. Stop paying too much for health insurance. Call this number, 800-693-9308, for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
99.7.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments as we talk about that Packer loss in Philadelphia yesterday, of course, ending their season. Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Oakwood Fruit Farm wants to thank everyone for another incredible season. As the farm closes its doors for the year, they'd like to express their gratitude for your support and remind you how much they value being a part of your traditions. From everyone at Oakwood Fruit Farm, happy holidays. They look forward to welcoming you back next fall for more fresh fruit, family fun, and wonderful memories. Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every season brings something special. See you next year.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline. 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan, Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM, and I must add, for the last time this season, brought to you by Tricor Insurance. And, unfortunately, Chris, I mentioned it's the last time we'll be chatting this season because the Green Bay Packers traveled to Philadelphia yesterday in that wild card round of playoffs, and they just could not get it done. You texted me at one point during the game, and you said you felt like it was a microcosm of the entire season just watching that game yesterday.
No doubt about it, Maddie. I mean, the same old mistakes. And the thing is, as the competition gets better, your margin for error gets slimmer, and yes, you can just not overcome these mistakes. And it has been. Now, the injuries are one thing, but the penalties, right, the fumbles especially, some dubious play calling and decision making in certain situations. But, they had a lot to overcome. But I think Jordan Love put a fine point on it after the game yesterday when he said, not good enough. Yeah, it was his analysis. He said, not good enough to win, not good enough to win here, and we've got to be better. And then the obligatory... Got a lot of stuff to clean up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's been like that all season,
Absolutely. And, we'll get your take on some things here, as we talk about the Packers offseason. But it just feels like for a good chunk of the season, Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur were just not on the same page. And when your head coach and your quarterback don't feel like they're meshing, you get kind of the disjointed offense that the Green Bay Packers played. And I kind of want to get your take, because one of the things that yesterday I kept screaming at the TV, quit running shotgun, quit running shotgun. I mean, last year there was so much creativity in Matt LaFleur's offense, and you alluded to this just a minute ago, and you saw it last year during that wild card round in Dallas, right? Lots of pre-snap motion. There was lots of bootlegs. There was also a lot of play action. It wasn't just run, run, pass, or pass, pass, run, usually up the gut. There was none of that, and we've been talking about that over the last few weeks. So as you allude to a little bit of play calling, is that what you're talking about? It feels like Matt LaFleur lost his way a little bit this year when they became a run-first team. What is your take on what you've seen the last few weeks from the Packers?
Well, Maddie, we've talked about this now repeatedly. I've said they've had a hard time all season trying to marry the run and the pass.
Yes.
And it's because the run game is so good that that's part of the problem. The other problem, and it sounds like an excuse, but the Jordan Love injury early on, injured later, and then the fact that the receivers have been banged up, really,
yeah,
not all of them there all together all the time all season. So in the case where you have three guys or four guys and one, they're all the sum total and all of that kind of thing.
Sure.
Well, if you don't have the guys, it's evident when you don't have, if you have a wide receiver one, a Devontae Adams, he gets injured, oh boy,
Yeah.
Or Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, oh geez, now what, Nico Collins, holy man. But in this case, when you got your top three guys out or never playing together, how do you get a rhythm? I think that's part of it. I think even today, or talking here, 3rd and 3, and you decide to, with Josh Jacobs out of the game in a fairly important part of the game, to just go straight ahead with Emmanuel Wilson like he's Josh Jacobs and then throw for it on 4th down, as opposed to maybe hunting a big play on 3rd down. Now, I understand they thought they could at least eke out 2 yards and then sneak it for the 1st down and continue on.
Right.
But you still got to hunt the big play, and that was an opportunity where you get them looking for one thing and catch them with something else. And LaFleur has not been sharp, to your point, all season. And I said it before, you talk about criticism and where you should level it on this team this season. I think, and I'm not joking, Jeff Hafley has given them a chance
to win
every game this season.
If I were Hafley in the defense, I'd be like, what gives? We did our part. Where were you guys?
No, for sure, because the first touchdown, that was a blink of an eye kind of deal. Keyshawn Nixon not doing any favors, and the defense had some undisciplined play by individuals. Yeah. No question about that.
They settled in, though, nicely after that, I thought.
Well, here's the thing. The first six possessions, you had the touchdown, and after that, the next six possessions, five punts and a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's spilling now into the early fourth quarter. So really going to that point of the game, you gave up 10 points and had every opportunity for your offense. Here's the ball. What can you do with it? Nothing. And it's fairly frustrating.
Right. No, 100% agree. You know, and you talk about the injuries, and the Packers in that game obviously went in without Christian Watson. They lost Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed through in that game. They also lost Jacobs for a while. It looked like he was limping around over on the sideline, so he wasn't in for a good chunk of the game towards the end.
I'm not even sure if he returned after that.
No, I don't believe he did. You lost Josh Myers, which was brutal for him. This is a contract year for him, and that injury did not look good. You lost your starting left guard, which, by the way, we'll talk about this in a minute. It wasn't the fumble at the beginning of the game that I thought was the turning point for the offense. I thought it was the Elgton Jenkins injury, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then you lose your backup left guard in the process as well. And Zach Tom, by the end of the game, his performance was so bad. I think just because he was trying to maneuver without, you know, on that line, he might as well have been injured as well. It is hard, and I don't give Jordan Love a pass for what happened yesterday because there were some inexcusable throws. At the same time, when you are basically confronted with a defensive line in your lap the moment that ball is snapped because your line play isn't there, it's really hard to take a moment to scan the field and see all of your open throws, right? I mean, I can't even imagine the processing that has to go through. And again, that's not an excuse for him. But at the same time, I just feel like there were so many missing pieces yesterday. And they didn't come out of the gate strong anyway. But then you start missing all of those pieces. And it was just one of those games. I mean, Brandon McManus, who's been so clutch for this team, even missed 3 points yesterday. So, I mean, at that point, you're kind of like, well, let's see what you got.
the chain reaction for left guard, Elgton Jenkins, and I do say the Eagles, I'll give them credit, they know how to lead with their helmet like nobody's business.
Yes.
I mean, borderline dirty.
Yep.
Romeo Doubs getting slammed down on the turf, pulled back by the defender. There were some things there. I didn't like the shot on Jenkins, but it's football. And the Eagles are physical, and they knew that going in.
It's playoffs.
But you lose Jenkins and Zach Tom, those two guys arguably, maybe not even arguably, are your best old linemen.
Yes.
Zach Tom does not play like himself at all again. And maybe it was trying to account for too many other guys. And then you lose Jenkins, so you go to Travis Glover, the rookie, and he gets back.
That was
back
a disaster.
Holding penalty. He's a disaster. He just can't play. So you had to bench him. And then you bring in Kadeem Telford, and it's no better. So and to go out the door, Telford, friendly fire, takes out Josh Myers in what looked like, I hate to speculate, but a broken leg.
It looked bad. It looked really bad. And I'm sure over the course of the next few days, as the team clears out lockers and leaves the facility, we'll hear more about that that Josh Myers injury.
So where was Luke Musgrave? Where was the double tight end? Where was some of
See, this is what I'm talking about with
we
Matt LaFleur. These are things that he even did last year with Ben Sims. I mean, let's be honest. There was so much more creativity last year in the game calling. And I have been screaming about this for weeks if you've listened to this segment. And I know you have the text to prove it. Matt LaFleur has done an awful job this year. And I love Matt LaFleur. I am not in the camp that they need to replace coaches, contrary to what I've seen out there on social media over the last 12 hours to 18 hours. But here's the thing. He did not marry the skill set of his game calling and what he is so good at with the skills of Jordan Love and the run game. He was not able to combine those. And by missing the elements of creativity that he is known for as the head coach and an offensive mind, he limited what Jordan Love is capable of doing on the field. Jordan Love is not a sit in the pocket, throw it kind of quarterback. That's not who he is. It's never who he was. If you watched him last year or at all this year, it's not who Jordan Love is as a quarterback. It's also not how he gets into rhythm and becomes effective on the field. And basically, Matt LaFleur just took away that element from the offense completely this year because it felt like he was a little lost in what they were trying to accomplish with Josh Jacobs as well. There is complementary football to be had. And I hate to always go back to it because I feel like for Matt LaFleur, it's like big brother watching little brother. Look what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do with the play action and the run in San Francisco. Now, I know this year it was a bit of an anomaly for them, but in the years past when they have been so good, and I feel like that's what Matt LaFleur wanted to do, but somewhere along the way, it just became a shotgun pass type of offense with Josh Jacobs running up the gut. And there was nothing. There was nothing that we know about Matt LaFleur's offense that kept the game exciting, and they became way too predictable throughout the season.
Well, just an observation in terms of the shotgun and the use of all that kind of thing, Maddie. It seemed to me like they were going to make sure that they were able to get the run game going, even if at the expense of the passing game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that had to be the case, because they tried to run it out of shotgun way too much. I mean, to your point about going under center and some play action, which Jordan Love does best, I mean, that's the way to get it. Matt LaFleur learned this season, but boy, it took slow going. They finally did one thing they figured out was go up tempo with the run game, because you get the defense feeling like they're, you know, you're playing downhill coming at them, and then you pop some passes in there. If you watched last night what the Washington Commanders were able to do for parts of that game offensively, that's what you see, some up tempo, and that's a rookie quarterback, but they're getting up to the line, but they're running the ball. You know, they're not letting the defense sit there and suck wind and rest up between snaps. They're coming at them. And and the other thing, one of the most explosive plays of the game was what? A Jordan Love run.
Absolutely. And it got the whole offense going.
Where was the rest, Maddie? How about the fake handoff and take the bootleg outside? You used to open the segment here this morning with that. There were times when that was there to be had.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they believe Love would run.
Right.
Come on now. I mean, that is another aspect of Love's game that has just gone bye-bye. And the injury, you could say the injury is why he's not running as much. The injury is why they're out of shotgun more. Yada, yada, yada. I'll tell you one thing I was encouraged LaFleur learning. Good for him. Finally figured out Jaden Reed, whether it was out of dire circumstances or whatever, line him up at receiver, put him in the slot, and throw him the darn football.
Yes. Yeah. Quit making him the gadget guy, as we've been saying all year. You don't need to jet sweep. Just throw him the ball. He gets the ball. He has got great hands. And I know, you know, and we talked about that. There were times this year that he had some bad catches because the Packers receivers lead the league in drop passes. But at the same time, if you're not throwing the ball to him, receivers have to be in rhythm just as much as a quarterback. And if they're going basically dormant for large portions of the game or games on end, there's no rhythm for them to get either. And so you're going to miss part of their game as well.
Well, you know, Maddie, here's the thing, too. Okay, so when you have a stud receiver who's your number one and all that, he has the aura in that receiver room and everything. Okay, that's fine. And you got to defer to that guy. Well, okay, that's something that you do. You make concessions to a Devontae Adams, right? Those kind of players, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I mean, they're just where you start.
Sure.
In Green Bay, it seems like they're being somewhat deferential, like you would treat a number one stud, to four guys in the locker room because they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to keep all of them in the mix, keep them involved, keep them all going. Why?
I have no idea.
Let them figure out and sift out who the best of the five is, and those three get the majority of snaps until injury or further notice, and that's just the way it is. And you make an excellent point about getting in a rhythm. No different than an offensive lineman or anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the field a little bit, three and out, pretty hard. And if you don't get the ball thrown your way for 2.5 quarters, now make the big catch, the diving play, the great, well, okay, I suppose you're expected to, but come on.
Yeah. The one thing I learned yesterday about watching this Green Bay Packers team, that a missing Christian Watson is much more impactful than a missing Jaire Alexander. That's what I learned watching this team yesterday.
Fact. Absolutely.
And it tells
you what? The fact of that is, I mean, maybe the coaching is better on that side of the ball.
Sure.
Because they lose Alexander, and you know what? It was nowhere near a disaster yesterday.
Right.
Watson, you could, well, it was their worst first half of the season.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I also hope that Matt LaFleur spends a dubious amount of time this offseason, maybe playing Madden or something, to learn how to manage the clock better. Because there are times when his clock, and this has been an ongoing problem. This isn't just a this game or the last few games. This has been an ongoing problem. His clock management sometimes, it is mind-boggling. And again, I am in the Matt LaFleur camp, let's be honest.
Did you understand why with like 3.5 or 4 minutes they didn't take a timeout and let 45 seconds run when they had three?
This is what I'm talking about. Like, what are we doing here?
I thought of you when I'm watching. This is how close we are doing this show all the time. And watching this. I was thinking of you as I'm at Max while I'm watching the clock tick off going, I know somebody who's frosted right now.
I was like, what are we doing? Like, stop something. Do something. I mean, there was lots of times during the game yesterday that I was just like, somebody do something. You know, like it's that old meme. You got the somebody poking at the something on the ground and it's like with a stick and you're like, do something. That's what I felt like watching this offense yesterday, but there have been numerous times throughout the season that that's how I felt watching this offense. It was just all around a disaster, and again, I will say that I did not actually, as bad as the game started with the fumble, which, by the way, I still believe Keyshawn Nixon had that ball. I do not believe that it should have went back to the Eagles.
I thought he recovered. I don't see how that is not possession Packers right there. Still, no one could convince me of that otherwise.
Right, and I don't think Matt LaFleur was super convinced even after the game yesterday that it was not the Packers ball, just based off his comments. But
he was still peeved.
Yeah. But at any rate, I will say this. I really truly felt like that game was lost when Elgton Jenkins went out and there had to be so many moving parts on the offensive line. Not that they were some sort of juggernaut out there, but I feel like they would have at least been able to get into a little bit more of a rhythm to do some of the things that they wanted to do. And when you lose a guy like Elgton Jenkins, I mean, it really just changes the entire dynamic of the line. And it just felt like one of those games that from start to finish was, you just were waiting for it to end, right? Because every time there was an injury timeout, you didn't even have to look on your TV to know that it was probably a Packers player, because that's just how it was going yesterday. And honestly, I mean, you never want a season to end. But I don't know about you, but at the same time, I was relieved at the end of it that they didn't win, because I was like, holy hell, how would they have even went into Detroit and had a full team out there for game number two?
You're playing the most injured team in the entire NFL at Detroit, and coming in as injured and limited as you were. Yes. But I will say this about Elgton Jenkins' injury. The two most disastrous games of the season, and there had been a couple, when Josh Myers was not available against the Lions the first go-around.
Right.
And Elgton Jenkins tried to play center, which was a huge miscalculation all the way around, or something was missed, because that shouldn't have been that big of a problem. And then today, so they have been living on the edge on the offensive line all season with inferior, inadequate backups.
Yes.
I mean, it's two seasons in a row now, Maddie, where cross your fingers and hope to the football gods that Rashid Walker or Zach Tom don't go down.
Right.
Because why? I mean, you saw what a disaster when it was the center in one game, the left guard in another.
Yep.
Imagine a tackle not being in there. Holy cow.
I texted you yesterday. It really makes me miss the Mike McCarthy days of the utility lineman. You know, like Don Barclay, who basically could play every position on the line and had to fill in for an entire season into Belaga.
I mean, you get a veteran guy who can play, well, a tackle, especially a swing tackle.
Yes.
You got to get a guy who can go in and, you know, at least he'll hold up in the pass protection game. And
sure.
They were living on the edge all year. Lucky that way, but it got exposed twice, the Lions and then again yesterday.
Agreed. So let's start there as we talk about the offseason, because I think you and I and any Packers fan who watched the game yesterday and saw how disastrous the line was, I think we could all agree that it is probably best to beef up the offensive line. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. So offensive line is probably one of the main, and let's be honest, the Packers are usually very good about bringing in players for the offensive line. But I feel like at this point in time, and I think you'll agree, but I won't put words in your mouth, you probably need to go out and get a guy who's played before and has some more experience, right?
Well, you know, I can't know how much confidence they really have in a Jacob Monk and in Travis Glover. Yesterday's game aside, which was brutal, but, you know, that part I don't know. I know they need to get a tackle, though, because Andre Dillard, come on. That guy stole from the Packers this year. He was injured, inactive, but they had no backup tackle. No. At all. So that now how you get that, I mean, you could go with the stopgap veteran, which is probably the way I would go. I would not, because you've got to bring Jordan Morgan along.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, he's got to have Morgan, Monk, Glover, those three better have big off seasons.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Now it's kind of hoping for a Rashid Walker scenario, but they've done it to your point before. So if those three guys, but I think that's a big part of it. And I think you need a number one receiver.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you go get that. If it's a Davante Adams coming back, a name you will love if they could afford him. T. Higgins is talking about possibly, you know, he may be
a franchise tag right now, and they're not going to be able to pay him and Ja'Marr Chase. Let's be honest. They're going to have to make a decision there, and you always choose Ja'Marr Chase, especially with his connection to Joe Burrow, over T. Higgins. I mean, as good as
Higgins
T. Higgins is.
A wonderful receiver. I know
he's
you know
so good.
Could you see him in a Packers uniform? Oh, man.
And let's be honest, we have to think long term if you're a Packers fan, right? Christian Watson just tore that ACL, 2 weeks ago now? A week ago? Yeah. I was on vacation, so my time frame is off.
He won't be ready for the season.
No, so he's going to be out. You're going to have to make decisions on him and Romeo Doubs. Now Romeo Doubs has had two major concussions. That injury yesterday looked brutal. I hope he's okay. You got to hope for a guy like Romeo Doubs. And now you're kind of like, well, now what do you do? I mean, Malik Heath is obviously not the answer. You hope that maybe Dontavian Wicks comes along because he got a little bit better as the season wore on. And then you got Jaden Reed, who they absolutely forget is even on the field. That guy could be off drinking coffee with the coaching crew, and they'd be like, well, okay, let's move on. I mean, it's kind of weird how they've done this wide receiver situation when Reed has been so good. But Christian Watson is not going to be available for the beginning of the season, and what do you go into with? I mean, who do you give Jordan Love for weapons at that point if you don't go out and find another receiver in offseason?
Jaden Reed's got to remember to bring his book like A.J. Brown does, just meet on the sideline.
Right?
You know, a little meditation, a little some of that to keep coping. But seriously, though, you know, you need to make a move there. And again, I don't think you can, because here's the thing. Now is the point where you might have a little pressure wanting to validate Jordan Love in that big contract. You get T. Higgins in, I think that changes with the talent you have around him. I think that would change the dynamic there and the script, because Josh Jacobs is a real deal. One guy who did bring it yesterday and is a pro's pro, Josh Jacobs, first snap to last until he got knocked out like everybody else and their brother, was phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, too, that takes pressure off of the young receivers. I mean, let's be honest. These young receivers have had trouble with separation over the course of the last two seasons. They've had trouble with drops. And if you have somebody out there who's basically going to command at least one-on-one plus maybe a little bit of a shadow or a little over-the-top help, then that opens up a guy like, you know, let's say Dontavian Wicks, just using him as an example, or Jaden Reed. That opens them up for a whole lot more and a whole lot less pressure.
T. Higgins one-on-one with Darius Slay, like the interception play, Higgins has got way more separation.
Yes.
He's much bigger and stronger, and he'll just go up and take it away from Slay. And Love doesn't have to put the ball in harm's way at all.
Right.
So,
and,
you know, that,
you know,
one
and that's,
play.
That's one thing that, you know, I think people forget that this team lacks. I mean, this literally, and I shared the stat with you in a text, but this was the second youngest team going into the playoffs ever, only slightly followed by the team from last year, the Packers team from last year, right? So this tells you what the age gap is versus them and the rest of the league. Now, there's also something to be said for the fact that because this team is so young, they only have last year as an experience and this year as an experience, or not at all if they're a rookie. And you got guys on the team like Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs who are with teams who either barely made the playoffs or were one and done, and they don't have a lot of experience to glimmer and to, you know, be prophets to the rest of the young guys either, because they're in the same boat. So you really have a whole lot of people out there going, wow, maybe we should, can we do this? Maybe we can. I don't know. I mean, that's what it really feels like when you watch them this year, especially in the playoffs. Last year, I felt like it was a whole lot more decisive, especially offensively. But I think, again, as we talked a little bit just a few minutes ago, I think LaFleur was just much better at his job. I think for me, honestly, LaFleur was my biggest disappointment this year. truly, honestly, because I expected so much more from him, especially with Josh Jacobs on the field. And when Josh Jacobs was picked up in the offseason in free agency, your mind, if you're a Packers fan, just went to all of these cool looks that they could do, because now you have a bigger back and he can catch in the field. And you, your mind went crazy, right? With all the cool stuff that they'd be able to do. And then they didn't do any of it.
It's a tough thing. It was a choppy season. The numbers don't suggest the eye test. You know,
right.
the offensively, the numbers are way better than what you and I saw.
On their best day, toe-to-toe, they could go up against anybody in the NFL. Unfortunately, every time this team has been asked to bring their best, the biggest names on the team have basically shriveled in the limelight. Absolutely shriveled and been completely non-existent on the field. It's been really weird.
I mean, they went, okay, so you lose to the Eagles twice, the Lions twice, the Vikings twice. I don't think there's any doubt that you do not belong with the top three teams in the NFC. And you beat the Rams without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp on the last possession of the game with your defense on the field. So you can't kid yourself about how good you are. I do feel like there were times this season where maybe Jordan Love, some of the younger players, Love was hurt, though, but would have just as soon fast-forwarded to the playoffs. But you know what?
Yes.
Another lesson learned, it doesn't work that way.
You got to go through game by game by game to get there and earn your spots.
You do. And in that division, it's a tough ask because you've got two of the best coaches sitting in your division and two really good GMs in your division with both those coaches and the quarterback to go with both those coaches. At least we think with J.J. McCarthy maybe anyway.
And let's be honest, the reason these teams are so good is because you've set the example and they've been trying to keep up with you all these years and now they are and you got to bring it. That's essentially what's happening in the NFC North. And we have no idea what
the Yelp you heard, those teams used to be the dog chasing its own tail.
Right.
Well, someone else is getting bitten.
Right. Absolutely. And we have no idea what the Bears are going to look like next year. They're a rebuild
better.
In process.
They'll be better, Maddie.
They're going to
be
better.
They beat the Packers once.
And honestly, the Packers they couldn't even beat them the last game of the season. And really, that was kind of how I knew that this was going to be a one-and-done team. No offense, Bears fans, but you knew you were a hot mess all season. If you can't beat that team as you're trying to make your playoff push because of how basically mismanaged they've been all season, not really the players' fault. I blame that on general management and a lot of ownership because they were so mismanaged and they did so many things wrong with the players. But if you can't beat that team and you're supposed to be the hotter team going into the playoffs, hello. I mean, you knew it was going to be a short-lived experience
for the Green Bay Packers.
I
don't know if it was Dave Grant and I were visiting, or it was with you, but I said, to think you can just magically turn the switch in a week.
It doesn't work
like
that.
Now we're going to clean everything up. It doesn't work like that. And
no.
And the other part of that, too, you think about how you're just going to turn it on and everything. They got to really examine their whole process out there because guys weren't ready to play.
Yeah.
At times.
That's started, a LaFleur thing.
Really, yesterday's game started slow from the Nixon fumble. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't happen. It did, but really, their offense wasn't any great guns the first half. They didn't score.
To me, that's a LaFleur thing because the defense basically settled in and they were ready. Offensively, I put that on LaFleur. Again, I love LaFleur. I think he's going to be in Green Bay a long time, but you got to figure out clean your own house. I mean, you can't tell the players what to do and how they should be doing things. You got to clean around your own house and figure your stuff out first and figure out how to get them to be ready, because we've seen LaFleur coach teams not be ready in really big moments. This isn't just this year. This goes all the way back to Aaron Rodgers' years, right?
This isn't just
a one-time thing.
I laughed when they were at the broadcast. They're talking about, this is a moment like Aaron Rodgers. You lean him down. I'm thinking, do you remember Aaron Rodgers' playoff history?
Yeah, let's
season.
Let's not go there. And unfortunately, Jordan Love learned from that history and not the 2010 history. But at any rate, you mentioned some changes, and you mentioned Keyshawn Nixon. Now let's talk special teams before we talk a little bit quickly about the defense. I'm in the camp that I've seen enough of Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
He's the highest paid special teams coordinator in the league. And this is special teams the last 3 weeks when they should be playing their best. I love Rich Bisaccia's grit. I love what he brings to the field. At this point, though, it might be time to try something new. That's my opinion.
I mean, try to put a positive on this, I suppose. With the Packers' assistant coaches and coordinators, you're really only going to lose anybody, because I have not heard a peep about any lists with Packer coaches' names on at all assistants. So if you do lose anybody, it's going to be because you think you need to get better. And there, enter Rich Bisaccia, because he would be the prime candidate, I think, in that area. And who knows, you know, the head coach and special teams guy got to really be working in concert because of injuries, and everything rolls downhill to teams. And if you're not on the same page, like the ill-fated timeout you took against the Bears to let them win that game because you didn't know whether to kick it or go for it, good Lord, you know.
I'm also of the opinion, as long as we're talking about assistants, I'm not, who is the wide receiver coach right now? I don't even know off the top
Jason,
of my head.
At any rate,
look it up, Packers fans, because I'm
Jason
also
Vrabel.
Okay, there we go. That's right. I'm of the opinion it might be time to try something new with the wide receivers as well. If you're the wide receivers with the most drop passes in the league, I feel like it might be time to try something new there. And I'm not one of those people who's all about switching up your entire coaching staff all the time. I think that's bad, too. But at the same time, 2 years in a row now, you've been the receiving core with the most drop passes in the league, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And Vrabel's very good at his job, but at the same time, maybe there's somebody who's got something better out there to teach them with, or bring in somebody else who can help him. I'm not really sure.
Could be. Well, I mean, some of that, I think, is Jordan Love's more inaccurate this year than he was last.
Yes.
Wicks and Reed tied for the team lead in drops with 9 each, which is not easy to do. Both of those guys had 3 drops the season before.
Yeah.
So there is a definite regression in the receiving core from your young players, which is really counterintuitive. They should take a leap of second season. But part of that is Matt LaFleur not using – he never did figure out how to use Jaden Reed this season,
no.
I don't think.
No,
I mean,
no.
They could have had Bo Melton doing a lot of stuff Reed was doing, let Reed line up at receiver, like I said.
Yeah.
But LaFleur, they need to start with the offense. I mean, they need a pass rusher. And that whole defense, you give Jeff Hafley a pass rusher? I mean, like, not Rashawn Gary. I'm saying a guy that can get double-digit sacks. Now you've got something, I think. Anyway, they're close. They're close to being Philadelphia or better on defense.
Agreed. And I feel like they're close to being any good team in the league, offensively and defensively. Defensively might be a little bit easier to come by just because defense, the schemes are always a little bit easier, right? For defensive players to catch up on versus rookies coming into or young players coming into an offensive front. But I agree totally with that. And I think a true pass rusher, because I'm just not sure, and I will say this as well, I love Rashawn Gary. I think Kenny Clark is great. They might not be the best fit for what Jeff Hafley is trying to do. Now, you can't go out and you can't get rid of everybody, make trades and all of that, even though I think with the fact that the Packers are out of cap hell and the cap goes up exponentially this year, I think Goody might play a little bit because he knows. He sees where they're at, right? Like, he sees how close this team actually is. And I think Goody's going to be a little bit more of a player in free agency and things this year. That's just my prediction. I could be wrong. And I'll ask you your opinion in just a moment. But at the same time, I feel like you got to get a guy who truly fits what Jeff Hafley is doing in the pass rush front. And as we've talked the last few weeks, you got to build the cornerback room. You've got to, some of those pieces will be able to stay. But you saw Carrington Valentine one-on-one with Goddard yesterday. That was just not good, to the point where we saw Xavier McKinney in his face after that big touchdown. I mean, you're going to have to rebuild that room. And I'm not sure Jair Alexander is going to be on this team, just to pre-prepare Packers fans in case that happens. And I know some are on that boat. I know a lot of people are like, enough is enough with the injuries. But those are the big needs I see for the Green Bay Packers.
They should have the wherewithal to be able to buy a corner or a pass rusher.
Yes.
Either or. You would pray to God you'd have the opportunity to draft a Cooper DeJean this coming April.
Yes.
Like you did the year before and didn't, which I'm not going to fault him because, you know.
You can't rebuild everything every year.
No, and Jordan Morgan, you know, that's definitely a need.
Yes.
His unavailability because of the shoulder injury recurring is a bit of a problem too, but you got to look at that, and those things happen. But I think you got to buy a pass rush, receiver, pass rush, corner, and those are three of the notorious.